In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. Sometimes it is really exciting to be at an unveiling. For if you get to see your doctor unveil the charts to show that you are cancer-free, if you get to see your business unveil its plans for expansion, you get to see the Chiefs unveil all their new plays for the Super Bowl, it can be quite exciting. It can be exciting to see what was previously hidden. But sometimes it's terrifying to be at an unveiling. Or if you have to watch your doctor unveil the chart that shows that you have cancer. Or if you have to watch your business unveil who's getting cut this time. Or if you have to watch the 49ers unveil all of their new trick plays, it can be terrifying. It can be terrifying to see what was previously hidden. For usually at an unveiling, there's no middle ground. At an unveiling, people are either excited or terrified. Well, today is Transfiguration Sunday, and so today our God is being unveiled. He's being unveiled in the person of Jesus Christ. And so on this Transfiguration Sunday, as we pull back the curtain and see what it actually means that Jesus is the Son of God, as we see Jesus unveiled as God Himself, what emotions do you have? Is it one of terror? One of excitement. Well, there's no doubt what emotions Peter, James, and John had at that first unveiling on the mountain of Transfiguration. For as Jesus shined brighter than the sun, and as his clothes became whiter than anyone could bleach them, Peter, James, and John, they were terrified. As they peered behind the curtain and saw what it means that Jesus is God Himself, they were absolutely terrified. In fact, they were so terrified that Peter offered to build three shelters, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah, because as St. Mark said, he didn't know what to say. For when God unveiled his full glory in the person of Jesus Christ to Peter, James, and John, when Peter, James, and John saw what it meant that Jesus is God Himself, they immediately were filled with terror. For they immediately realized how holy He is. They immediately realized how sinful they were. And so they immediately realized how this holy God should strike them dead. The same emotion should happen today. When God allows you to peer behind the curtain and see His glory, when He reveals Himself to you in the person of Jesus Christ, you should be terrified. For He's still holy, and you're not. And so you know that if you're in the presence of a holy God, He should strike you with death. It should terrify you to be in the presence of God. As an example, when you hear that Jesus is performing a miracle, showing His omnipotence as God, when you hear Jesus teaching in a perfect way, showing His omniscience as God, when you hear Jesus say that He is with you always to the very end of the age, showing His omnipresence as God, it should strike terror in your heart. It should strike terror that Jesus as God has all these characteristics. For because He is omnipresent, that means He's there whenever you are sinning. Because He is omniscient, that means He knows all your sins. And because He is omnipotent, that means He can punish your sins with such power that you can't even fathom what He is able to do. Do you see why Peter, James, and John were immediately struck with terror when they got to peer behind the curtain and see Jesus unveiled as God Himself? Do you see why you should be struck with terror when on this Transfiguration Sunday you get to peer behind the curtain and see what it means that Jesus is the Son of God? But just as we are about to bury our head in our hands and close our eyes as Peter, James, and John did on that mountain in the hopes that we don't have to see the glory of God, just as that is about to happen, something else is unveiled to you. Something that changes your entire perception of Jesus as God, and something that makes you excited, and that something is the gospel, which is the good news. You see, that's what gospel means. Gospel means good news. And this gospel, this good news, it changes everything. For think about what the gospel is. The gospel, the good news, it unveils that Jesus, as the Son of God, who can shine brighter than the sun and has the power to punish you in ways that you can't comprehend, the gospel, the good news, unveils that Jesus, as the Son of God, did not come down to earth to punish you as your sins deserve. He did not come down to earth to use his omnipotence and his omniscience and his omnipresence to condemn you, to expose you as a sinner who deserves to suffer his wrath and punishment. He would have had every right to do that. You know how disgusting and shameful your sins are. But the gospel, the good news, it unveils that that is not why Jesus, as the Son of God, came down to earth. Instead, the gospel, the good news, it unveils that Jesus, as the Son of God, came down to earth so that he could be your Savior. He came down to earth to use his omnipotence and his omniscience and his omnipresence, as well as every other one of his characteristics that can cause him to shine brighter than the sun. Jesus, the Son of God, came down to earth all so that he could save you. Also that he could reveal you as a forgiven saint who is worthy enough to spend eternal life in heaven. For even though you didn't deserve it, this God, who can do absolutely anything, decided to use all of his characteristics for you. He decided to use whatever he had at his disposal for you so that he could go to the cross for you, so that he could suffer and die for you, so that he could pay for all of your sins. That's why Jesus, as God, came down to this earth. In fact, that's what Jesus and Moses and Elijah were talking about on that mountain of transfiguration. As they all shined brighter than the sun, they were talking about the gospel, the good news. In fact, this is what they always talked about. You see, whether it was the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, which were written by Moses himself, or whether it was when Elijah was condemning the prophets of Baal and pointing to the Lord God as the only true God, or whether it's Jesus going from town to town, synagogue to synagogue, preaching with such authority and driving out demons as we've seen the past couple of weeks. These prophets, Moses, Elijah, Jesus, their focus ultimately always was on the gospel. It ultimately always was on the good news that God himself is coming down to earth not to punish but to save. It was the focus of everything they did. And if it was the focus of everything they did, then of course this is what these prophets were talking about on the mountain of transfiguration. And if that's what Moses and Elijah and Jesus were talking about, if they were talking about this gospel, this good news, that God would come down to be your perfect substitute, to be your Savior, if that's what they were talking about, well, then, as you peer behind the curtain and see the full glory of Jesus as God, as it's revealed to you that the one who was born in Bethlehem, the one who was adored by the Magi, the one who was anointed by the Spirit at his baptism, as it's revealed to you that that one truly is God himself, when you know the gospel, no longer are you terrified by that. No longer are you afraid that you are in the presence of a holy and righteous God, because you know he's not coming to punish you, not for you who believe in the gospel. Instead, you're absolutely excited to be in his presence. Excited because you know that with all the powers he has as God, he He's using all these powers for you, to forgive you, and to save you. That's the gospel, the good news. And if that's the gospel, the good news, that God has come down to earth to be your Savior, if that is what the gospel is all about, well, then do you see why the enemies of the church are doing whatever they can to try to hide that message so that your focus is not on it? For let's finally get to our text from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. St. Paul's pretty clear in that text, isn't he? The gods of this age, which are whatever you put your fear, love, and trust in, the gods of this age, they're trying to blind you. They're trying to cover up the gospel. They're trying to put a veil over the gospel because they want to convince you that you have to be the Savior, that you have to do something great to be into the presence of a God and appease Him. They place the burden and emphasis on you. It's what all the gods of this age do. Because you see, Satan is ultimately behind all the gods of this age, whatever they may be. Because Satan, he's trying to keep you from clearly seeing the glory of Christ, as St. Paul says. Meaning that Satan never wants you to hear the gospel, the good news that Jesus as God came down to be your Savior. Because if Satan can hide that truth, if he can veil that gospel from you, Satan knows that he takes away your hope. He knows he takes away your peace. He knows that he makes you terrified of God once again because you won't see him as a Savior. Instead, you'll only see him as a righteous judge who's coming down to punish you. It's why Satan spends all of his efforts trying to veil the gospel, trying to keep it hidden from you and from anyone else in this world. And if that's what Satan is trying to do, if he's trying to veil the gospel, do you see why God keeps his people here on earth? Do you see why God hasn't taken you or me or the rest of his people up to heaven in a chariot of fire as he did with Elijah? We want to go there, but do you see why he doesn't immediately take us there once we come to faith in the gospel? It's because you are God. He has a purpose for you here on earth. He's using you here on earth. He's using you to unveil the gospel. After all, he used someone to unveil the gospel for you, right? He used someone, probably multiple people, to tell you the good news that God died for you to forgive all your sins, no matter what the sin is. It's been nailed to the cross and paid for in full. It cannot harm you any longer. God has used multiple people for you to proclaim that message. In fact, he has probably used so many people during your life to proclaim that gospel, that good news to you, that you can't even count them all. Now that you know that gospel, that good news, now God's using you. He's using you as somebody who can unveil that gospel for others so that they too may hear that good news. And this unveiling of the gospel, this pulling back of the curtain, it's not hard. In fact, it's quite simple, for as St. Paul says, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. You see, we simply get to be instruments or servants. Instruments or servants that God himself is at work through. Instruments and service that simply reach out and pull back the curtain and point to Jesus as the Son of God. Not necessarily as him shining brighter than the sun and showing so much power that we can put a bumper sticker on our car that says our God can beat up your God. That's not necessarily what we do. Instead, when we pull back the curtain and point to Jesus, we point to our God hanging on a cross. Point to him bleeding and suffering and dying. Because that's how he's winning forgiveness for that person. That's how he won forgiveness for you. It's the best thing we can do when we unveil the gospel is to pull back to the curtain and point to Jesus on Mount Calvary, bleeding and dying. That's preaching Christ crucified. And when Christ crucified is proclaimed, as Paul encourages us to do, then, yes, it's true, some people will still reject it. Gods of this age are working hard to convince them of that. But when the gospel is unveiled, you can rest assured that the Holy Spirit will also be at work, bringing many, many, many people to saving faith in that message. You see, faith can only be created through the gospel, the good news that Jesus, as God, came down to earth to be your Savior. It's why you can be certain that no matter what the gods of this age try to do, no matter how they attack you, no matter how they attack others, no matter what they try to do to cover up or veil the gospel, you can be certain that as long as this world is around, the gospel will be unveiled. And Jesus will be unveiled for who he really is, the Son of God, who came into the world to be the Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess our faith in that wonderful gospel message by using the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed in the bulletin.